Dan Brady, ladies and gentlemen, our hero, said no to a pay raise. Good morning, Mr. Brady.
Good morning. Good morning, all.
I said this morning, yes. I would love to have the opportunity to say no to a pay raise. At least they offered you one. I would love to have that opportunity. But you said no. There was only one representative in the whole House that said, hey, you know what? I think I do a good job. I think I deserve a pay raise. So he'll probably end up paying for that next election cycle. That would be my guess, because somebody's going to run against him and they're going to use that against him. But, you voted no against this along with all the others. What do you think it's going to do in the Senate?
Well, that's the question. First off, you have to remember that this, particular piece of legislation, we as the House Republicans had legislation in for the last, at least a month. Seeing that this was coming. In other words, if there was no action taken, this would go into law, because last spring session, the majority party, the Democrat majority party, put this into legislation, passed it, that this would be an appropriation that could only be struck out by a change in the Constitution or action by the House and Senate. And so our bill, changing this, after every day that we were there calling for it to be let out of rules committee, which was House Bill 4225, was not let out of rules. Last week, as this deadline approached, if the House did not take any action, then it was automatically going to go into law, or I'm sorry, automatically going to start issuing the cost of living increase. The governor started to crank up, obviously, opposition and calling attention to this. And as the pressure continued to mount yesterday, all of a sudden, when we were in session, the Speaker calls this bill, which is, for the most part, identical to what we had, very close. But anyway, the long and short of it is the Senate...
This would be the long of it.
Doesn't come back until August the 4th. It's a complex issue. And to try and put that into 30 seconds is tough.
It's all just symbolic. I mean, when it comes to, here's what I suggest. Mm-hmm. And maybe we could put this into the Constitution. You guys will get a pay raise, men and women, mm-hmm. get a pay raise every time you pass a balanced budget. All right?
Mm-hmm.
It could be a cost of living
mm-hmm.
increase.
Mm-hmm.
How about that?
Well, you're preaching to the choir. I have said on numerous occasions, I think it's been 7 years or longer since we've had a cost of living increase. Fine. I've been part of furloughs days for I don't know how many years. I have been part of no payment under a governor for months. So I've been through the ups and downs, and that's fine. You lead by example. And that's what in the debate yesterday was missing. The other party kept pushing and trying to say, this is a drop in the bucket. This is nothing. This is $200,000+.
Yeah.
This does nothing to the massive budget mess
we're in. It's all symbolic.
But it's symbolic from the standpoint you don't ask other people to do things you're not willing to do yourself. And at all the times that you don't bring something like this forward, Constitution or no Constitution, you don't just automatically have a pay raise, COLA cost of living, go into effect. And
right.
So the timing is horrible. The reaction, as far as I'm concerned, was like kids on a playground, to where, somebody had to have the last word, whether it was the Speaker or somebody else. The fact of the matter is, it just should have been a no-brainer. Absolutely, unequivocally, no.
All right, serious question.
Yeah, that's a serious answer.
You just said, we haven't had a pay raise in 7 years.
Right.
COLA, or you haven't had a pay raise in 7 years. Furlough days, not getting paid at all.
Uh-huh.
Stipends not being refunded, right?
Correct.
All right. Seriously.
Yeah.
What motivates you to do this job anymore?
What motivates me to do the job is all those ups and downs that have to be corrected. All the problems of people that you hear from, all the agencies you deal with, all the providers that you deal with, all the people out, that are hardworking state employees, all the people that are out that are touched by state government, some way, shape, or form, depend on people down in Springfield to be a voice of reason. Depend on people in Springfield not to play partisan politics. Depend on people in Springfield to do the right thing. And so when people start saying, I don't want to be part of that. I don't want to run for an elected office, whether it's local, state, federal. you lose good people. And yeah, these are trials and tribulations, and these are very challenging, difficult times, and you take a lot of heat, and you take a lot of, you know, criticism for things that are completely out of your control. But once in a while, when you hit a home run with a family that really needs help, when you hit a home run with someone who just simply needs someone to cut through the red tape of Springfield to help them with their problem, when you do those type of things, that, you know, re-energizes you to continue the fight. And those are the type of things that keep me going. Yeah, these are very difficult times, and they have been for the last several years. But, you know, you can't just throw in the towel and say, that's it, I give up. There's got to be those that are still willing to reach across the aisle, those that are still willing to say, look, I'm not just going to be a robot and do exactly everything that I'm supposed to because of my party or, right. or whatever the case may be. I think that's what people are looking for in people to represent them in government.
So earlier this week we had a story about some testimony to talk about reducing the state's prison population. And a striking number was that it costs $37,000 a year to house someone in prison who has a mental illness versus $20,000 a year to treat and house them at the local level. Mm-hmm. How do you envision that translating into actual policy and budget allocation if we're serious about reducing the prison population?
Well, if we're serious about that, what we have to do is listen to those type of fact-finding committees, those task force, and that's very difficult in government because once you come out with a good idea and a good proposal and people that have done the work, whatever side of the aisle they sit on, but they've listened to the testimony, they've listened to the experts, and they try and move forward. And I've been part of numerous task force that, you know, a nice report sits on a shelf and doesn't get implemented. I'm hoping over the course of the next several years or like 3.5 years now at this point in time with Governor Rauner, that those type of things with new administration can see the light of day and can get some attention. Not everything's going to happen, but the reality is that, you know, the governor and the speaker have to come to some common ground. I don't know when that magical date's going to be. I don't know how long it's going to be under Governor Blagojevich. We're there towards the end of August without a budget. And so, you know, the work continues. Obviously, the distractions on the side, the peripheral, are things like this COLA, are things like you're talking about. In a positive sense, there are still positive things going on. Listen to some of the fact-finding information. Get it to the governor's folks. Get it to those who can make a difference. And that's what we all have to keep trying to do. Frustrating. It, you know, government doesn't move as fast as I want, or anybody probably
yeah,
wants
boy,
to at
people
time.
People in Mitsubishi don't want to hear that.
You know what? And we're off to a meeting in Mitsubishi here this morning. Very, 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 disappointing and difficult situation. But, you know, when you say we have no budget, we do have a budget in elementary, secondary education. Our schools, our public schools across the state are set to obviously open. Our public schools know what they're dealing with money-wise. Some within my legislative district saw an increase in their general state aid coming from the state. Others held pretty much the line, but the governor did do one thing, and the speaker, and he, you know, could meet on this, and the rest of us could meet on this, and that was the education budget, about $300 million more in there than there was in the past, and then, you know, that was scaled back in some areas of K-12 a little bit in early childhood, but they got a budget. Governor Rauner said this was a focal point of what he talked about back in February when he made his budget address. He signed this. It was reduced by the General Assembly a little bit, but he signed it into law back in June. So we have that. I mean, yeah, he's vetoed 18 other appropriation bills. Higher education stands out on an island on its own right now in a very difficult time. A lot of the universities are going to be depending on the income fund as this impasse goes on. We don't want that to last much longer, but you know, let's focus on the positive. We have a K-12 budget. Is it everything everybody wanted? No, but it's a budget. It's in place, and it allows the school districts to know what they're going to be able to at least deal with in the upcoming school year. All right.